Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's 9:08 on KDXU. We have royalty in the house today. The chief is here.
Royalty, wow. Yeah. What do I do to deserve that?
Oh. Chief Kyle Whitehead, St. George Police Department, is here, as well as Communications Director Tiffany Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
How are you?
So good. How are you doing?
You wearing a flag jacket today?
Yeah. Something. Right.
Better safe than sorry. That's good. Yeah. You guys are all suited up and ready. I guess this is your start of your work day, huh?
Yeah, I actually was down doing a little bit of traffic this morning.
Really? The chief, huh?
Yeah, I'd like to get out and do my part.
Nice. What did you observe? You were telling us a little bit about some of the things you observed that was a little bit troubling.
Yeah, we, with some issues we've been seeing down in the south end of the city, I saw some high school students, unfortunately. Sometimes they get a little distracted and... stop signs sometimes get missed or just treated more like yield signs. Scooters, they tend to not obey the signals and just plow right through, and cars have to slam on their brakes. So, yeah, some concerning things. Probably some things we'll talk about today, and hopefully get some information out there.
I think we need to talk about it. There was a high-profile case, and we won't go into the details of who was at fault or anything like that, but it involved a couple of teenagers on scooters going at a pretty high rate of speed. And, Tiffany, that's starting to become a real thing, isn't it, where kids on scooters are going really fast.
Yeah, I think we're just now maybe talking a little bit more about it, but it's been an issue. For a few years, we've been trying to address and educate the public about this, but yes, we definitely need to get information out to parents about helping their kids stay safe when they get these really cool Christmas presents or birthday presents, and have a safety meeting before you cut them loose and make sure they know kind of the rules of the road would be helpful.
No kid wants to wear a helmet, but...
Yeah, but...
But
is the thing.
If they want to live and they're going pretty fast on these electric bikes or electric scooters.
I think the thing to consider too is the helmets that they're typically wearing, bike helmets, aren't rated for these higher speeds. You know, if you look at like the spin scooters, the ones that we see around town, the orange ones, those types, I think they max out at 15 to 18 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these.
So a bike helmet might work for that.
Correct.
Because you're slower.
Correct. But a lot of these we're seeing the issues with now. I mean, some of these they're advertising 40, 50 miles an hour top speeds. And I look at that, and I've seen some of these machines traveling at that speed, and it's like, wow, if that person goes down or they hit something, they need motorcycle helmets at that speed.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chief, really.
Do you know, and I have no idea what the answer to this is, are they trying to bridge the gap between a full-on motorcycle helmet and a bicycle helmet? Is there something that maybe a kid that's going to have an electric bike can buy that's kind of in between the two that would work? Are you aware of any?
I'm not sure.
I was at one of the bike stores the other day, and they had a full, and I'm sure they've had these for a while, but I noticed like a full face. It almost looked like a motorcycle helmet, but it was for a bicycle. But that would probably be something maybe to ask someone who specializes in bikes, because I think there's got to be, there's got to be like reinforcement the faster the speeds get, where bikes, even if it's just stunts and you're going off jumps, you're still probably not getting those speeds that some of these electric vehicles are getting to now.
Yeah. Now, I know Tiffany has a list for us. I like lists. Everybody that listens to this show knows I love lists. But we actually had a discussion about this maybe 6 months to a year ago, about some of the amazing variety and types of vehicles that young people who don't have a driver's license a lot of times, are operating, and how fast these vehicles can go. Tiffany, what kind of information can you share with us?
Yeah, well, there's a lot out there. There's, you've got electric motorcycles that have a class 1, 2, and 3.
And you do need a driver's license for, yes?
Yes. Some of them you do need a driver's license, depending on the speed. So a class 1 that goes up to 20 miles an hour, it is, they don't have to have a driver's license, but they have to be supervised if they're under 14 years old.
Okay.
And so we're working with the city and with city engineering, and St. George Police Department is going to be putting out a lot of information about this, including some links, because there's a lot to it, right? We were talking earlier where I say class 1, 2, or 3, that doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't even mean anything to me, because there's so much information out there that we're going to whittle that down. As David Cordero said, we're gonna put it on a diet, make it skinny, and we're gonna get just the meat and potatoes of it, and put that information out for parents to.
My wife tells me I can't have meat and potatoes when I'm on a diet, so I don't know.
I know that was like an oxymoron, huh? We're going to put you on a diet, but give you
maybe a salad, huh?
Yeah.
You know, something I think that's important to identify with these vehicles, though, is, like you said, Andy, when we were younger, we didn't have these. We had pedal bikes.
Yeah.
And so it is great that we have these different modes of transportation that, you know, if a teenager wants to, it lives out, say, in Little Valley, and they want to travel into town or go to the mall, they can do that, you know, and get there. The thing we've got to do a better job, I think, as a community, is the education, and as parents, educating our youth on how to do it safely. And I'm picking on the youth, but don't get me wrong. I've even seen some adults that need a bit of an education on this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Some of it, too, is the laws, because we've seen these very recently, the laws haven't caught up. And so I think that you're going to start seeing statutorily more regulations coming out about these, because they are statewide and probably nationwide are starting to cause some real problems.
In an area of growth like we have here, you guys have so much to worry about when it comes to traffic, just cars and motorcycles. It seems like to me this is almost overload for you guys to then, oh, by the way, we're going to throw in some electric bikes and electric scooters, and some of them can go 50 miles an hour. And it just seems like, I mean, how in the world are you guys supposed to keep up as a police department?
Well, I think that what you're not remembering or not people don't understand is we've been dealing with this for a couple of years.
Okay.
It's been something that we've been working on with the city and within the police department and engineering as to how are we going to manage this, how are we going to keep people safe, how are we going to educate, what can we do, you know, with the streets or the signage or crosswalks and stuff like that to keep people safe. But I will tell you, I'll reiterate what Chief said, it goes back to the end of the day. People want, what can the city do, what can we engineer to make this intersection safer? And it comes down to kids learning that they cannot blow through stop signs. They've got to look both ways. They've got to wear helmets. You've got to stop at stop signs and yield to pedestrians and all those things.
And there's probably certain ages that we should really consider restricting our kids getting on these devices. Mm. You know, an e-scooter that goes 40 or 50 miles an hour, should 12 and 13-year-olds be on those unsupervised, racing through neighborhoods? I don't know. I'm not saying yes or no, but that's
something. Well, they are right now.
They are. I know what I would do with my kids and how I would treat that. And so,
Well, I think it goes back like what Andy just said. Traffic is such a concern, and it's so crazy to drive even in a vehicle. And then we're cutting these kids loose on these devices where they have no protection from the outside. And we're mixing them in with already heavy, congested, distracted driving. It's just a recipe for disaster if we don't all chip in and do a part. We've got to all be part of the solution.
Let's go back to the helmet thing. If a kid is on you mentioned the class, the different levels or whatever. We don't know. Like you said, kind of brain over, we don't know.
Right.
But if a kid is on an e-scooter that goes, you know, 30 to 40 miles per hour, is there a law or policy in place that they have to have a helmet on? Or is that something that laws haven't caught up yet?
Right now, as far as I know, on e-scooters, there is no helmet law. Mm. The only helmet laws that exist are on ATVs and regular street legal motorcycles. And so beyond that, I don't believe there are. I mean, I know there's no bike helmet laws in Utah. That's... Again, I think it comes back to we've just got to. Nobody likes them; they're inconvenient, but you know, they'll do their job in a lot of cases.
With no laws or policies in place, it seems like to me we're going to have more of what happened the other day with two teenagers being critically injured. Until something is put, I'm not a big, you know, government should regulate every part of our lives kind of guy, but still. You know, if we have, like you said, Chief, 12 and 13-year-olds riding on these things at 40 miles per hour, man, there needs to be a law, I think, or something. Yeah. We don't want them to get hurt. We don't want them to be flown to Salt Lake on Life Flight, you know?
Yeah, it's certainly concerning. But then there's probably a great deal of people out there that would disagree and say we don't need more laws. People should be able to just make their own choices. And so,
yeah, it's true.
Well, I hate to say it, but how many more kids are going to get seriously injured then until there is something in place? Because, you know, we love parents and we're all parents here, and, and we, you know, we try to teach our kids, you know, but if, you know, if there are parents out there that aren't teaching you need to wear a helmet when you're going 40 miles per hour on an electric scooter, it's going to keep happening.
I think the other thing is we've all told our kids to not to do something and they've done it anyway. So we could probably talk till we're blue in the face sometimes, and kids are going to do what they want because they're kids. So I don't know. There's no easy solution, is there?
How old is your oldest, Tiffany?
He turns 29 in 2 weeks.
Okay. Chief, how old is your oldest?
Twins are 14.
14. Oh, you're right in the thick of it.
We are teenagers. It has become very interesting. They're good kids, though. I can't.
You're
say,
just outnumbered. Do you have a male dog?
No.
Okay.
No.
You're swimming in it.
Yeah, we may have a couple of roosters, but don't tell the code enforcement in the city I live in.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, we had one rooster. I lived for 1 year on a farm in Missouri when I was little, and the rooster used to chase my 3-year-old little sister around.
And you'd let it?
And well, I mean, we would try to scare it off, but the rooster was fast. I mean, these things are...
And they're tenacious.
I was going to say determined,
tenacious and determined, both, So anyway, I guess the bottom line on the electric bike and scooter discussion, number one is it's been around for a couple of years now. It's not like it's a new thing. Number two, the laws maybe haven't quite caught up yet. And number three, we're going to keep having pretty bad things happen until something changes.
Well, we hope that in, like Tiffany alluded to, in the next few months, especially leading up to summer, we really want to do our best to try and get some information out there. Yeah. To help the public, you know, do a public awareness campaign of sorts. And because going into summer, that's, you know, as you know, then the kids are out of school and that's really when it gets busy. And so we would rather get that education piece out there. Unfortunately, there's going to come a point that we're really going to have to get strict on enforcement. And, you know, we've kind of been, I think we've been a little bit light over the last few years. We've tried to work with parents and things, but in the last year, we've had some pretty significant crashes involving kids, and we're just at that point that we're going to have to enforce everything, I think, across the board to try and get that to stop, because it's tragic when these things happen.
What would that look like enforcement-wise? Would you be enforcing the running of stop signs, the speed?
Yes,
all of it? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and then if they're
writing tickets,
if they're underage and they're not supervised like the law states, the parents can and have been cited.
They should be.
Their vehicles or their little mopeds or Surons have been impounded. So education, I think, is ending.
I just got a $1,200 e-scooter for Christmas, and the police took it away because I was being an idiot. Kind of situation.
Well, you can get it back.
Yeah, you can get it back.
Yeah, but
I don't know about the e-scooters being impounded though. I know like the e-dirt bikes.
Yeah, the
like Surons, a brand that's very common.
Yeah.
Those we impound, and it would be a state tax. You'd have to pay a couple of $100 and the tow cost, and so it gets expensive when those get, because it's like an ATV being driven on the street. It's not registered.
Yeah,
or insured.
So yesterday I'm driving around and a guy on an electric scooter, not a moped, but an actual scooter with a motor, electric motor, was in the left turn lane in traffic between a couple of cars waiting to turn left. I was a little confused. I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't really a motor vehicle. He certainly doesn't have brake lights or blinkers or anything like that.
No, he shouldn't be in the roadway.
Why is he in the roadway?
Now, is it like a stand-up scooter?
Yes.
I think, and again, this is where the law's still trying to catch up, but I think anywhere that a bicyclist, I kind of relate it to a bicyclist.
Mm-hmm.
Can a bicyclist operate in a left turn lane? They can.
Yeah.
In a busy intersection. And so I think those scooters can as well. Maybe I'm misspeaking.
So
here.
I'm reading on...
Tiffany, you'll correct me.
No, I'm learning too, and I'm not saying that this is correct, but what it's saying on the form that we're going to follow to put out our social media through the city and the department is non-bike electric vehicles, one wheels, e-scooters, etc. They can be on motorized trails only. Tracks and skill courses open to motorized vehicles.
All right.
Tracks and skills courses.
Okay.
So that doesn't say road,
well, we'll
but
have
we'll
to,
have to look
we'll
into
go,
that.
We'll go with what Tiffany's saying because I suspect they probably looked at what the current laws allow and don't allow. So.
And I will tell you, we haven't talked about this, but we are working and going to be working through the school district to put out this information to the parents before summer starts. And I know that our motor and traffic division have been working with the companies that sell these types of toys to work with them about what and how they present things when they sell them. And so I think they're going to continue to work with those companies that sell these so that we can all be on the same page from the get-go, because the laws are going to be changing May 1st. And we don't want everyone to just be surprised by it. So just another tidbit that we're working on. We're trying all the avenues that we can get the information out.
Yeah, it's too often corporations, all they care about is how many they can sell.
Right.
But you know what? If you have people dying on your product, that's probably going to hurt sales a little bit, I would think.
Well, and if we just help them out, you know, you can still sell all you want. Let's just do it safely and help everybody. And then everybody wins that way.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Now, have you guys been on the faster electric scooters, the stand-up scooters that go very fast? I've never been on one because...
No.
So I have some balance issues since my motorcycle wreck years ago, and so my balance is not very good. So if I were to get on one, it would be a disaster.
We purchased just a regular e-scooter several years ago, and it was so my kids could drive one of them to get to piano lessons and across the neighborhood and back a little bit easier. And I took it out like within the first couple of weeks, and it was one night I had to go to a few blocks down to a neighbor's house, and I jumped on that thing, and you know the little round water valve holes in this.
Oh no!
I hit one of those, and you know how sometimes they're not smooth. Sometimes it's a bit of a bump. And I had something in one hand, and so I'm only kind of balancing. I hit that thing. And
did you go down?
I went down, and that was only probably 15. Well, less than 15. I don't know how fast.
I still don't want to fall going 15 miles an hour.
Yeah, it hurt. So
road rash.
I stay away from those now. Needless to say.
Now, we have bike divisions here in St. George, guys on bicycles. In fact, it's a great thing. They really get to kind of interact with the community and talk with people. Has there been maybe considerations of making their bicycles electric?
It's been talked about the last couple of years. There are two schools of thoughts out there. You know, there's the ones that say, no, you should use technology. And then others are too proud to say, we're not getting on e-bikes. That's wimpy, right? So,
they're young, though, too. I think that's where it's coming from. See, us old folk, I'd say, give me the electric.
That might be something we consider in the future. I don't know. Right now, they don't have e-bikes. They just have regular pedals.
Right. Yeah, I just wonder in the future, something to think about. I mean, the motorcycle guys, they get Harleys, right?
No, we're on BMWs now. I mean, we still have a couple of Kawasaki's, I think was the previous one. We had Harleys for a while, but the heat here, they really, you have to every now and then, just all the idling that they do during the summertime. With those, we found they had to get them out and just really open them up and get the air cooling them down. And
clean out the gunk is what I used to call it.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, so that's what that sound is.
Yeah,
okay.
The cleaning out the gunk.
Oh, I thought it was just your flexing of your muscles, your manhood.
The motor muscles. Yeah, I don't know.
I will say this in a word about motorcycles. I wrote a story on our website about this. There is, you know, our eyes are not cameras. We don't see every single thing that comes across our path. And so our brain fills in when we're looking to turn left, our brain fills in, you know, what's coming. And if our brain is not attuned to the idea that there might be something smaller than a car coming, say a motorcycle, a lot of times our brains will omit that it's even there.
Sure.
And this happened to me. Somebody turned left in front of me when I was on a motorcycle. So I speak from experience. And the guy said, I never saw you. You know, and I'm a big dude. I'm a 300-pound dude. I had an 860-pound motorcycle. My wife was on the bike with me. She weighs 105 pounds, something like that. Anyway, And I'm like, you know, there's 1,000 pounds of beef coming at you. How could you possibly not see this?
Right.
And but the guy swears, he said, I never saw you. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's a real thing. As frustrated as I was, because I was the one that got crashed, he never saw me, and that happens mm-hmm. in traffic. And you guys know this.
I think we look, but we don't see, right? It's habit to turn our heads one way or another. But we're not really looking. We're not seeing what we're looking at.
It actually happens a lot with police officers when they are involved in uses of force or a real dynamic situation. There's medical data and mm-hmm. studies that back mm-hmm. it up, that they'll fill in the gaps, that if they don't, and that's why sometimes, you know, you'll have body cam video that'll show one thing and then the officer's statement will be different because their recollection mm-hmm. and what they're processing was different.
Well, even like when you have witnesses at crashes and stuff, three people can see the same thing happen and you mm-hmm. get three different versions of it's just their minds.
It's true. I thought this was really interesting as I was researching this article. They found that people who have a relative or a good friend who rides a motorcycle are 20% less likely to get in an accident involving a motorcycle. I thought that's kind of cool. And it's just because it enters your head, it becomes a part of your thinking to know, okay, I've got a loved one on a motorcycle, so I need to be aware that there are motorcycles. Isn't that strange, though?
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I got the signal from Stockton, and we do have a caller on the line now. And so we'll take a phone call. Hey, you're on with Andy and the chief of police along with Tiffany. What's up?
Oh, I was just wondering about the law. Recently, the law has changed, and bicycles do not have to stop at stop signs here in St. George or in Utah. And they can go right, just slow down and look, whereas a scooter should stop. How does that work?
That's a good point. Now that you mention that, I do recall that I think this last year it changed that they don't have to come to a full and complete stop.
Right.
I haven't reviewed that statute recently, but as far as e-scooters go, I would have to look at the statute and see. I don't know that it exempts e-scooters, but if what Tiffany was saying is correct, it doesn't sound like e-scooters. At least as of once this new law goes into effect in May, they probably shouldn't be on the road anyway. But I'm
just pulling up the law right now. I'll skim through it and see if I can't get you an answer on that.
Yeah, they're working on it, Alan. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank
you. Go ahead. I guess he's gone. All right. I got a text, and I don't understand this question. Maybe you guys can explain it to me. Can you ask Chief Whitehead what the role is for Sean's and Snake Hollow Bike Park? Maybe a typo on the Sean part. Snake Hollow Park, what the role is.
Well, I guess as far as the role, I mean, those bike parks are for more, my understanding is a lot of those are for more like BMX style, you know, mountain bike riding. And those are more for like off-road kids that are trying to, you know, improve their skills. There's jumps, things like that. But
places I shouldn't be, you and I shouldn't be.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't. You wouldn't catch me there.
We were at the fair on Saturday and walked by the, you know, there was a guy doing this skateboard lessons and demonstrations on the half pipe thing there. And he's like, hey, you. And I'm like, me? He's like, yeah, come on over here. Let's give you some lessons, get you on a skateboard. I'm like, oh. I don't think so, buddy. Me going down a half pipe on a skateboard, oh, that's a disaster. Something's going to break, and it probably part of it's going to be me. So, I was like, I'm not going to do that. So I think we've got Vic on line two. Is that right, Stockton? Yeah, go ahead, Vic.
Yes, good morning, Andy. Good morning, officers.
Good morning.
I was just talking to my brother this morning, and unfortunately he's in the hospital right now, but he's improved markedly, so looks like things are going, you know, prayers do help. but anyway, he has a very good friend that's a New York State trooper. And he said, every time I approach someone, when I pull them over, you know, they're 100%. I'm a human being, they're a human being. But as soon as the attitude changes, they start dropping down to 80% and then 50%. And if nothing escalates, it really says a lot of times that's, I'll give a person a break if they're civil to me and they're, you know, and they're like a human being, they're a human being. But it just amazes me. You can watch cops, and you know it's just something minor, and that really shouldn't be escalating. But because they have such a, just an attitude, how things can escalate, how things can get out of control, and they drive away a lot of times with a ticket, and they're so ticked off. But if they treated an officer like a human being, like they are, then a lot of times you probably just get a warning. Is that fairly true, or is in your opinion?
It depends on the violation. I mean, I've seen some pretty egregious violations that, you know, people are very polite and cordial, and they'll typically get, maybe if it's speed, 20 over, they get a break for 10 over or something like that. Attitude certainly does help. We want our officers, our expectation is, look, even if people are giving you attitude, you know, make sure you're still polite, professional, mm-hmm. and courteous. And don't let it get under your skin, because it's inconvenient. We get that. We don't pull people over to wish them a great day and give them gift cards and things like that. Right. But if everybody can just keep their cool and be professional, then that usually is the best way to
absolutely.
Well, this state trooper, my brother said when he pulled one guy over who was just changing lanes, and the guy rolls down the window, and he said he reached in and grabbed his clicker, and he moved it up and down. He said, "See this? This is called a clicker, all right? And this will help you change lanes safely." And the guy started laughing. But anyway, he gave the guy a warning. But, simple things like that, you know. But anyway, you're doing a great job, and I feel very, very safe here compared from the big city that I left. So
thank you. If it makes you feel any better, the two traffic stops I made this morning, I gave both of them warnings.
So. Oh,
there you go.
Thank you for calling, Vic. Appreciate that. Guys, we've got to check in with weather, so let's take a quick break. We will continue with Chief Whitehead and Officer Mitchell after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 938 on KDXU. We're sifting our way through some of the laws and theories on scooters, e-scooters, bikes, e-bikes, e-motorcycles, all those things. There's so many categories. Eric actually amended his text. Those Sarans, is that what they're called?
That's a brand of one.
It's an e-motorcycle, an electric motorcycle.
Are they allowed on Snake Hollow?
No.
Period.
No, they aren't. They're classified. They would be classified as an ATV or an off-highway vehicle, similar to if you had a two-wheel, just a dirt bike. That's what those mm-hmm. are. And so
e-bikes are considered a motorized, are considered motorized, so they can only be where motorized vehicles should be.
And this particular brand, it's not a pedal bike. There's no pedals on these.
These just
have motors.
Now, sometimes there's some confusion because they have come out because some states say, well, if it has pedals, then it's classified as an e-bike. Well, the pedals actually have to be installed at the factory, and they actually have to be operable. They can't just be like pedals that you stick on and then go, well, it's an e-bike. Yeah. So sometimes people get a little cute with how they do it.
Okay. And then we were discussing a little bit about stop signs, bikes, and scooters. Tiffany?
Yes. Well, I can talk to you about bicycles. Now, it does get a little confusing when you start talking about the e-scooters, whether they can be on what we're talking about on roadways, streets, on the roadway.
Yeah.
So cyclists are not required to stop at a red light, but these conditions have to be in place for them to be able to not stop. Do you want to hear what those are?
Absolutely,
really quick?
Yes.
So they must slow down. The cyclist must slow down to a reasonable speed. The cyclist must yield the right-of-way to pedestrians in the intersection. They must yield to other traffic that has the right-of-way. And they must yield to any oncoming traffic that poses an immediate hazard.
Hmm.
Which, on a cycle, I think you'd want to do that, because you're going to lose if you...
You're going to lose.
If you take on something bigger than you, you're not going to win that fight.
Even if you're in the right, you're still going to lose.
You are.
When we're talking pain and injury.
Yeah.
But we're not sure on scooters yet and stop signs, right?
Yeah, I my feeling would just be, and until we can clarify some of this,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I see someone on an e-scooter come to a stop sign, you know, and they slow down to a reasonable speed and then just go through it, I don't think reasonably they have to come to a complete stop, as long as they have the right of way. You know, there's no other pedestrians, similar to the list that Tiffany pointed out. If none of those conditions exist, then I don't see why they would have to come to a complete stop, to a point they have to step off the scooter and then proceed. Why they couldn't just, do a yield, or is there, can we use that phrase, California stop? I know that was famous for years when I was little, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Although you're still not allowed to do those in a car.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
You still got to come to a complete stop with a car if you're operating a car or a street legal UTV, UHV, whatever they're calling them nowadays.
Yeah,
side by side.
Side by side.
That's
yes.
What we call. So, we're talking with Chief Kyle Whitehead and Tiffany Mitchell is here as well, Officer Mitchell. And guys, first of all, I want to thank you for coming down here and hanging out with me. We have a once a month visit with the police department. We've had some really cool guests from their police department here in recent times, from detectives to traffic guys. I like having them all on because they all bring a different perspective and idea of things to talk about when it comes to law enforcement. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hi, you're on with Chief Whitehead, Tiffany Mitchell, and Andy. What's up?
Oh, I just was listening to the comments about the e-scooters and, you've all been around the city and these city scooters that are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to have one stop anywhere. I've almost hit three or four of them. Mm. And I can see them. I see them coming and they look my way and they see me. They don't even slow down. They just go. And they're usually crossing an intersection because they're on the sidewalk. You know what I mean? So they're crossing across the road.
Yeah.
But I've never seen any of them stop.
And I think, what we were talking about a minute ago would apply here. The fact that these people that are writing these things need to understand that it is your life on the line. It doesn't matter if you're right, if you think it's clear or whatever, or if you're not even legally have to stop. If you get hit, you're going to lose, and it's going to be your pain and your maybe death.
Then what about me? If I hit someone of them guys,
yeah,
and I hurt them real bad or kill them, I don't want that on my conscience.
Yeah, well said, for sure. Any thoughts on that, Chief?
No, I think it's this is just a point, one more point of what we've been talking about today, in that, we all need to do a better job. Mm-hmm. If we have these devices in our families or know people that operate these devices, to try and encourage them to be law-abiding and just be aware that people are, this is dangerous when you start getting on these machines.
Yeah, I think
you've got to take away any exceptions, because you were throwing exceptions in there and you were giving these guys on the scooters the individual freedom to decide should they or shouldn't they. And people are going to take advantage of it, and that's what's happening.
Right. Well, I think that we go back with what Andy was saying earlier, is that we don't want the government telling us everything we have to do. There's got to be some common sense. There's got to be personal responsibility and people making good choices. We can't govern everybody. That's why we're trying to educate And at the end of the day, people have free choice to make these decisions, and sometimes they're not making good ones, but sometimes there's nothing that the police can do other than implore people to do better and to make good choices. And like we say, we're working on defining that law and figuring out exactly what that is. We're just not able to say specifically right now with scooters what that law is.
All right. I got a text, and I think I agree with this text, and so I'm going to bring it up to you guys, and we can talk about this. The gateway road that goes under the freeway by the mall,
right?
There is, if and most of us have been through that little intersection there, and I love having it. In fact, I wouldn't live where I live now over in Middleton if that hadn't been put in, because, otherwise you have to go around to do. Anyway, so it's there. But you have in that, coming out of the mall, you have a left turn lane, but you have a straight lane, and then going across the street, going onto Telegraph or Red Cliff Drive, I guess it is technically there. You have two left turn lanes, and then that third lane there is a straight lane.
Only to go into the mall.
Only to go into the mall. Yeah. You and I know that, Tiffany. However, a lot of drivers do not know that, or don't care, or something. I have seen time and again, and this person that texted me, time and again, people turning left out of that go straight only lane so that they can steal and then turn onto Mall Drive after that.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts. Is there anything we can do about it?
Well, yeah, people can make better choices. They cannot do that. It's marked,
and
right?
I know our officers do watch that as they're able to. The hard part, though, is what do you do when you see a marked police car? Everybody toes the line.
Yeah, right?
And so there's a police car anywhere in the vicinity, and people aren't going to do that, but if there's not, then they're going to make that. If you look at the roadway, there are actually arrows painted there that designate.
And they don't seem to care.
It goes back to you got to make good choices behind the wheel.
Yeah.
So I live in Middleton. My dad lives over there behind the mall. Mm-hmm. So I go that way pretty much just about every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I always get in that middle lane, that the left turn lane that's in the middle. And invariably, I mean, over and over again, somebody gets in that supposed to be straight only lane, and then they turn to my right. So I want to get over, and they're there.
In your way.
And they're not supposed to be. It drives me crazy. And like I said, I don't know what we can do about it, except like you said, Tiffany, maybe try harder.
Try harder, please.
Get them to obey the law.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy.
If we would all do it, can you imagine what our stress, how less stressed and annoyed and ticked off we would be every day?
You'd be out of a job, Tiffany, if everybody obeyed the law.
I don't know.
Cats and birds living, or cats and dogs living together. What's that line from Ghostbusters? Yeah, it would just be amazing if we could, you know.
It wouldn't be. All right, let's get another commercial break in. Talking with the police today, Chief Kyle Whitehead, Officer Tiffany Mitchell, and they're here in studio. Give us a call if you want, 673-5890. You can text me at 467-5842. Be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, we've been talking about traffic laws and scooters and e-bikes and stuff like that. If you have any questions, we've got about 8 or 9 minutes left on the show. 673-5890 is the phone number. We will get back to that if we need to, but I did want to ask, so in the news today, all over the country, college and high school kids they're having these protests about, you know, the war in Israel, Hamas and Palestine and all that stuff. And I thought maybe we could take just a minute and talk about some of the policies when it comes to protests and the police department. Now, say you get a call over at the police department and they said, hey, we've got a gathering of, say, 200 people at, you know, at downtown at the park. And so far it's peaceful. They're just chanting and holding signs and stuff. What is the protocol there? Do you try to immediately have a presence there just in case?
No, we don't. In fact, you know, that's one of the great things about our country is we have the ability to gather and talk about whatever issue we feel is appropriate. And so, no, in that case, we would probably just say thanks for the information. We do have people that are going to have protests. They'll call us occasionally, and they'll want to say, hey, we just want you to know we're going to be there.
Right.
And we like that because then we can kind of talk to them about, look, here's some of the do's and don'ts that we've seen in the past that have gotten people into trouble, especially if you're protesting like out on a sidewalk somewhere.
Sure.
You know, you can't be stepping out into traffic. You can't be interfering with if people want to walk by on the sidewalk, you can't be interfering with them. But we encourage that. Now, where we might get involved is, and we may want to start having more of a presence, is if their counter-protesters show up.
I was going to say, what about when the counter group shows up?
Yeah, that's, you know, again, that's, people have that right to do that. Unfortunately, we see, though, where those can become very dangerous, especially for the police officers that are trying to keep people
just safe, not even interfere with the event.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Line one is Rhonda. She has a question for you about everybody's favorite topic, roundabouts.
Yay!
Go ahead, Rhonda.
So I live in Ivins, and I drive down past the Black Desert where they're building all that hotel and golf course and everything. And so I get to the yield sign, and I look, and nothing's really coming. So I start through, and then all of a sudden a car comes around and pulls in front of me to get into the Black Desert entrance. And I'm just thinking, once that opens and there's all these people coming, how is that going to work? I just am hoping there's going to be a different entrance than right on the roundabout. What it's happened about three times. The car just pulls in front of me when I'm already in.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, what am I? I mean, I've almost crashed a couple times. One time, I honked at a guy, and he went in and circled around and followed me.
Oh boy.
So.
Well,
thoughts on roundabouts, you guys.
I just can't imagine they're going to keep that as the main entrance.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be some fatalities there. That it's really bad, actually.
And that roundabout is actually in Ivins, I believe.
Right.
And so that might be something you would want to reach out to the police department there with them. And if there's a problem that mm-hmm. you're seeing, and maybe go out and have them kind of explain what's happening. As far as roundabouts go generally, though, you know, to be able to leave the roundabout, you have to be on the right side, unless
right.
there are other lane markings or designations that allow that. I think I can think of an exception at the west side of the Bloomington roundabout there, where you're going under the freeway. That one does allow for double vehicles to exit,
go through,
right?
Yeah.
But whenever it's not clear, you need to be on that far right side. So and so typically I tell people, follow the markings on the road. If you need to slow down, then, you know, slow down
right,
a little
get
bit.
Behind the
sometimes
vehicle
you see people
over.
Come racing into those things, and that certainly isn't safe.
Yeah.
So the engineers and the traffic people say, you know what, roundabouts are a great thing. You don't have to put a light in. It's much cheaper, and it keeps traffic flowing. What about the police department? How do they feel about roundabouts? Are they a boon or a bane to our community?
I don't really have that feeling one way or the
yeah.
other. I personally, I think they're, at times, they're better than signals. Because
right.
signals, you're stopping and waiting. But then we've seen roundabouts that just don't seem to work either, you know,
yeah,
at particularly
yeah.
busy intersections. And when you get a lot of traffic from one direction, now everybody else is backing up because they can't get an in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it kind of depends on the location for
yeah.
me.
The roundabouts, I think you need to be thinking ahead. You need to be planning where you're going.
Agreed, yeah.
You can't just be on autopilot, because if you plan ahead and you know where you're supposed to, you're going and where you need to exit the roundabout, and you plan ahead, they're great. But if you don't, it causes a cluster when you get in there. But let's go back to Rhonda and that her issue with that roundabout.
Okay.
The police department's probably a good option, but then also engineering and city streets are someone that she should follow up
okay.
with. I know that when I've had people contact me about issues within the city on streets, if I reach out to our engineering department and or streets, they're amazing at if they can't fix it, they'll tell me why they can't fix it. And I think if she goes there, she may get some answers and at least understand why and how it is the way it is, even if they can't fix it.
And
so,
again, that would be over at Ivins,
Ivins.
City
yeah,
because
Ivins.
That roundabout is in Ivins.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to line two. Is it Rosemond? Rosemond wants to talk about scooters a little bit. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Rosemond Applegate. I remember when I was younger and they were having bike safety classes, and I think that's a good thing to do for scooters and e-bikes, because there's so many rules, like when you're going to stop, how you put your hand, if you're going to turn, which way you put your hand, for right or left, because you don't know which way people are going because they don't know the rules of how to show which way they're going. And if they had it in the education department in schools, that would really help, because a lot of these kids are riding these vehicles to school and they're just zigzagging wherever they want across the street. Even skateboarders are going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Some education, I think, would go a long way.
Yeah, good point. I will say this, in all the times I've seen those scooters, electric scooters and otherwise, I don't think I've ever seen one of them signal they were turning left or
no.
right
no.
with their hand.
No.
So, and there really are hand signals for turning
there
left
are.
And right.
Yeah.
I think people forgot about them, but they really, and like Rosemond, I actually remember taking a class on
yeah.
learning all
I think
stuff.
It was Boys or Cub Scouts or something where
yeah.
I learned about that.
Yeah, back in the day. Well, believe it or not, we've used up our hour, you guys.
Oh, thanks for having us on.
Great job today. Appreciate you coming in and spending this. It sounds like some new legislation, Tiffany, that was coming out very soon, like in a couple of weeks.
Well, for the city, we're going to have some new ordinances that are going to help manage the golf carts and that kind of stuff. So if you're not following our social media, get
follow
on there.
Tiffany.
Follow.
She's on there. Yeah. Traffic
I'm trying,
Tuesdays
trying my hardest to teach y'all what's going on. So if you're not following us, go ahead and do that.
and commenting on recent you know happenings in the city. It's really cool. I enjoy it.
Thanks.
You. Appreciate that, Chief and Tiffany. Thank you so much for coming on. There we go.
Thanks. Our pleasure.
There it is. Looking for the music. It wouldn't start. Anyway, thanks you guys. And that's it for the Andy Griffin Show. Tomorrow we're going to talk water with Zach Renstrom. Thanks for listening, everybody.